So, good morning to all of you. I hope you had a nice evening and a better night so that you could sleep well, so that you can listen to what IBM has to say about some and enterprise environments, obviously. This is Joachim Jordan and Michael Weisbach, and they are talking about what IBM experienced in their installations. And I think they have some wishes to the Samba team, what they need in Samba to deploy it in really large installations.
Good morning. As you already introduced me, my name is Joachim Jordan. I am from the IBM laboratory in Wiblingen, Germany. And this is my colleague Michael Weisbach.
Hello.
He's working for IBM Global Services, but at the moment also, let's say, leased to us for 1 year at the moment. Perhaps you have a chance to get him as a full employee also. We are at the moment both members of the Linux Competence Center in Böblingen. The Linux Competence Center does more or less advanced technical support in sales situations. And we are responsible for EMEA, which is the abbreviation for Europe, Middle East, Africa. So we have already been involved in several customer cases involving Samba in Europe, but we, for example, don't know very much about the US or Asia. And I'm not really sure if we're really telling you IBM's opinion, but we're at least telling you our two's opinion. One last forward. Our experience with Samba were more or less based on the Samba version 2.2x. So we already learned yesterday that some features in the Samba 3 will definitely help us with some problems we have encountered. So bear with us if we're telling you some things that are already fixed in Samba version 3. Okay, trademarks, we can skip. That's more or less our agenda. We first want to give you a small overview about some of the customer engagements we had, then talk a little bit more about the customer in detail, and then tell you more or less the features that have been requested by customers in different situations. And then we'll be more or less open to discussion about our experience with customers. These are some customers, and you can see it's more or less very central region of German focus here. There was one German power supplier company, oder auf Deutsch Energieversorgungsunternehmen, and they have, for example, in their central location, they have, or headquarter location, they have around 110 servers serving around 40,000 user IDs via WinBind, which means more or less Windows clients connecting to the servers. And these 110 servers have 3.5 terabyte of data on the disks. The German Parliament, you probably have heard about that case, that the German Parliament has decided to switch their servers to Linux. This means that around 1,500 clients of all the employees and the people voted into the German Parliament will switch their servers to Linux and Samba, and this means that we or that they will have to have around 100 decentralized servers. A little bit speciality about the German Parliament is that as it's not really a company, like every party and perhaps every part of the government may have their own server just because of security issues and things like that. I mean, you're sure that the Grünen wouldn't share a file server with the CDU or so, you know. Okay. Then another thing is a German insurance company where we heard, actually we did not really talk with the customer ourselves, but we heard from our salespeople that they have around 1,000 file servers, perhaps even growing too much more at the moment, in their headquarter location. And yeah, at the moment our sales reps are very busy of convincing the customer to do a file server consolidation. But it's also something we have experienced with like large companies, and you can imagine a company who has 1,000 file servers in just the headquarter headquarter is a large company. Compaq. It's Compaq. Compaq Windows file server. But our experiences, as I said, with these large companies, especially if they are so large, they have a very large area only responsible for Microsoft products running on PCs. And normally they have also a large Unix shop, but these two shops more or less only meet just beneath the CIO. This means if we are active in one of these companies and convincing like CIO or the company to switch from Windows products to something on a Unix shop, this involves very deep political problems. Let's say we have here two big areas fighting each other, you know. So normally in our experience, engagements like that may even take 1 to 2 years until we have convinced the customer to do it. Because they first have to decide and to get their internal political problems out of the way before we can do anything technical. One customer in Germany, a Danish bank, which has around 600 file servers, and from another colleague from the US, I got some information about a US insurance company, which is completely different because they only have 12 file servers, but still serving 3.6 terabyte of data. So you can also see the range of data stored on file servers and how they can be consolidated. Like the German company with around 1,000 file servers compared to another company who does almost the same on 12 file servers. If you're now going for another customer more in detail, that's the German power supplier. They're using at the moment Windows NT servers and clients. And they have, as I already said, 110 file servers in their main location. These 110 file servers have, in summary, around 3.5 terabyte of data on these disks, and they are more or less SCSI disks, I think. And around 30,000 active clients served by these servers. One of the big problems in the case is this company already has is working on an Active Directory infrastructure. I mean, there are two things coming together at the moment. For one thing, the just monetary pressure to do file server consolidation to save space, to save money. On the other hand, you may have heard about the new license regulations from Microsoft, which more or less enforces all companies this year either to go to Windows XP and Windows 2000 Advanced Server for saving license fees, or to more or less stay with Windows NT and then have to consider a few years later how to go on. Because if a company does not switch to the new software versions this year, they will have to pay a much higher license fee. I think, which is my personal opinion and not anything at all as IBM opinion, I think that's one of the tricks Microsoft does at the moment to attack Linux. Because they're forcing companies now to either go against them or to go with them. And if a company will now switch to an Active Directory structure, it's like the bait is already in the hook. Now, the fish has already swallowed the bait. Now it's just for Microsoft to get the fish out of the water. And that's what they are trying to do at the moment. I mean, another thing is, what you also encounter with customers, if a customer goes with Active Directory, he will also go with Microsoft Exchange servers. He will also go with Microsoft SQL servers, especially as Active Directory also contain additional features that are only used by Microsoft Exchange and other stuff. So if Microsoft gets them to go one step with them in that direction, they can be sure that the customer will go all the steps. And then the customer will more or less run at least in a few years, a Microsoft-only environment. That's the situation at the moment with Microsoft doing. But as I said, that's my personal opinion. Nothing IBM official, you know? Okay. The customer at the moment, as I said, is already evaluating in Microsoft Active Directory strategy and has probably already decided to go that way. But they're still also trying to or evaluating Samba either on Linux for Intel or Linux for SR90 or Z-Series, the IBM mainframe. and yeah, we were there, or Michael was there, to be exactly, and has installed a Linux and a Samba system on one of their mainframes. And as I said, they are at the moment evaluating the system. And I think it's at the moment talking to one of their Windows NT servers, primary domain controller. And I think it's a Samba 2.23a?
Yes, this is an installation on Linux OS 390 with a 2.4.18 kernel, I think, with ACL patches and with a Samba 2.2.3a installation with ACL support.
And that's...
But it's currently only for a little proof of concept, so it says that the Microsoft guys can test what's different between an NT server installation and a Samba installation.
And that leads you more or less to the next file, which is just a small summary of the experiences we did in some customer situations. One of the things we experienced is that we do definitely need an easier administration of repetitive tasks. Another thing is that our customers normally have really a large user database, which drives also the WinBind requirements from a connectivity point of view or from a server point of view that, for example, need perhaps several primary domain controllers and backup domain controllers and other stuff. We experience a large storage requirement, as you have seen in the two examples. They have like 3.5 terabytes of data just for file serving in one of their locations or in the main locations, and they are definitely by far not one of the world's largest companies. So you may even find companies who have perhaps even 10 to 20 or perhaps 30 terabytes of data just for file serving in the whole company. And that's more or less is also a requirement, for example, for file systems, for backup and recovery and things like that. Next thing is what companies even see more and more is the cost that or the loss companies experience if there's a failure. And therefore, more and more servers, even file servers, have to be redundant and or be able to be replicated so that I can have like a failover situation or just in high availability technology. Another thing is large enterprises need to lower their administration costs. And that's, for example, also one thing we experienced at the German power supplier. It is also in a heterogeneous environment because larger companies normally have a real park of different hardware. They have normally Microsoft installed in different versions, flavors. Then they have definitely some Unix environments, perhaps not even Sun, perhaps IBM's HP series, Sun, even perhaps HP, perhaps even some leftover DEC systems. Normally it's a real zoo of environments. And for example, from the NT part, they're really, or the Microsoft jobs, really go with an Active Directory environment to also consolidate their servers. I mean, one reason for that is, for example, many companies hire consultants, as you may, or some of you may be, to do some jobs in the company. And what I, for example, experienced at a Swedish customer, telecommunication customer, and they have around in the main location, just in the main location, around 500 NT web servers. That's more or less just because they hired around 40% of their IT staff was consultants hired for temporary jobs. And if you are a consultant and you're hired by a company to, let's say, write a small web application for the intranet, like just one example, one application where you can order business cards. Companies may have something like that. Or, for example, other applications. For example, if you want, as a full-time employee, want to have a change in your telephone access line, for example, that it should have a mute button or something like that. Companies tend to have small web applications written for that stuff. And they have, like, as I said, 500 NT web servers doing stuff like that. And it's a big problem with NT is if you have something running with IIS, perhaps with active server pages, perhaps doing some DOM objects to an MQSQL database, that would really be able to consolidate it onto one server, because I wouldn't be sure if Active Directory, non-net Active Directory, Active Server Page application does not crash if another Active server application is running on the same server. But these companies try to gather these servers together and combine them in an Active Directory strategy to lower administration costs. That's one of the points. And what we also experience, especially in banking or insurance companies, that they are really keen on security, which means they are really, for example, looking for Kerberos to enhance their internal security, especially now with some disasters happening in the last year with viruses and Trojan programs and things like that. I mean, even we inside the IBM made some experience with the CodeRed 2 virus. And another thing is, but even inside IBM is sometimes a problem, large enterprises are multinational. This means you definitely have to have a very good internationalization. I mean, even inside IBM, there are these rumors about a few projects started in the US where they only thought about the dollar sign and not even thought that there are other currencies around the world. But, as I said, there are only rumors. In reality, a product or even a project has to support multinational currencies, characters, and stuff like that. So, if we're now going more into the detail of the features you really needed in these environments, one thing is, we're doing here migrations from a non-Unix to a Unix. Sometimes customers even have OS2 networks or even novel networks running there. Normally, I think there's almost no company I experience, especially large company, who has a pure Microsoft environment if you're going looking for file servers. So normally always have still some remnants of novel in there. But that's also one thing that drives them to do a consolidation. As I have at the moment, Microsoft and novel, they want to merge to one product. And yeah, we are definitely proposing Samba on Linux. But as this is a non-Unix environment, but NT has, or yeah, this NTFS file system with ACL support, some of the customers have told us that they have problems, that the POSIX ACLs are not really matching the Windows ACLs. Actually, you can always talk with them if it's really important, these small differences or not. But as I said, in these large companies, we normally experience heavy political problems. And there's a Microsoft shop fighting for the jobs. And any political, any technical issue is a weapon for them. Let's put it that way. Another thing is, if you're talking about these large file servers with even up to 3.5 terabyte over several servers distributed, this means we have large file systems. And just to have a smaller recover time if the system falls down, we need a short-lived file system. I mean, we cannot spend several hours with file checking if we have like a 500 gigabyte file server. So we definitively need a Schrödinger file system. At the moment, to our knowledge, there are only more or less two file systems available with ACL patches, which is the XFS file system and the X3 file system. I know that the IBM JFS plans to have ACL, but I don't know exactly when it will come out. And I didn't talk to Steve Best in the last few weeks, so I don't know exactly what's going on. So another thing is, that's also a problem with companies, because companies want to have a supported environment. And if you, for example, look at a Reddit or a SUSE distribution, you will find no SUSE or Reddit distribution with an XFS file system or with an X3 file system with ACL patches.
ACL patches supported?
Sorry? Sorry?
Is there also a Samba package with ACL support compiled in?
No.
You lose.
Hello, my name is Lars Müller, and I'm responsible, as Volker said, for the Samba in SUSE. And I've built Samba with ACL support, but if we don't have ACL support in our build environment, that's a problem. I could even build Samba, I could call the configure with ACL, but we need the configure checks if the current kernel is running with ACL support. And therefore, I'm working on a patch for our build system to fake ACL support in the build system.
You're better off sending us a patch to our configure.
Yeah.
If you send a patch to our configure.in so that when you force Apples on, it doesn't check the local kernel, then we would accept a patch like that.
You're willing to accept my patches, I know. And yeah. That's the other way. But I think it's better to have a build environment which delivers the right values if a configure asks for ACL support.
Yeah. Well, one problem is that one of the reasons we test by testing the current kernel is there is not one single interface for Apples on XFS. In fact, the XFS Apples interface changed a couple of months ago, and so the configure tests need to work out which interface is appropriate, so needs to get the correct header files. It's a little bit more complex than just saying yes or no for Apples.
Okay, let's ever say yes.
Sure. The more recently XFS switched across to use the same interface as the best bits at EXT3 Apples.
But before that, XFS had a different API. That made
a bit more complex.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
We have 8 minutes left.
Okay. But at the moment, we have the problem that these systems are not supported in the actual available distributions. That is a bit of a problem with customers, as I said, because they want to have supported versions.
Yeah, and a little addition. It's not only in kernel with ACL support and in Samba with ACL support. It's in file system check utility with ACL support, and it's in mount utility for X3 file systems, but it's currently in the distributions. And there are tools, setfacker and getfacker. We need also to test and develop such an environment.
Okay. One thing we also see in that area is a different access process. I mean, if I have a file server, I can also either go in via a Unix shell, and also on the other hand via the Samba server from an NT client or from a Windows client. And therefore, we would need, let's say, more or less the same security on both access paths. I mean, you can't log on as a Unix server and then do something that you could not do as in Windows NT or Windows user going via SIFS. And another thing is, what we're not sure about because we never really tested it, is how good is the ACL performance if I'm doing, let's say, several gigabytes of backup and recovery. Another thing is that windband mapping is not unique. As we heard yesterday, it's dynamically allocated. And if I'm doing a backup and recovery, I have to ensure that if I'm doing the recovery, I have more or less the same user ID mapped to the same, or the same Unix user ID mapped to the same Windows user ID. I mean, otherwise, I don't have to do a backup because I will lose the most important information of my whole system. I mean, I don't know exactly how this could be done. I mean, as we heard yesterday, there will maybe an LDAP backup for the mapping. That could be definitively a fix for that. We were thinking, for example, about exporting the table or yeah, TBL.
Yeah, you know that you can export the, you can either just back up the ID map, TDB, or you can export it by the TDB dump utility that Andrew wrote. Okay. That might be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
But yes, as long as you restore it, WinBind will start. I know it's not a centralized mapping file yet, but you can back it up and restore it.
Yeah, we're starting to think about a new design for the ID map, and the most significant we're starting at the moment to think about a new design for doing the ID mapping, and ID mapping is in fact a one of the trickiest problems we need to deal with in future versions of Samba to make it work both in a distributed fashion and work in some situations now where it doesn't work. One of the trickiest problems is that SIDs on NT don't really map well to UIDs and GIDs on Unix because you can't tell from looking at a SID whether it's a user or a group. That is one of the core problems we're trying to deal with at the moment. And along with that comes the trying to find solutions for centralizing the ID mapping. If people are interested in this, we should perhaps gather as a group and discuss it sometime, a little birds of a feather session. It is a core problem in the future developments of Samba.
It would be good if you could also think about if it's a possible... if there would be a possibility to replicate the stuff, for example, from another server, for either for load balancing or for high availability. But I can have, for example, a hot spare failover, which is more or less the same server running, which would just take over the disks,
yeah,
the user disks, in case that the first server fails. That would be very good, because by that I could set up a high availability environment for Samba. Another thing is also what we're thinking about.
There are vendors who have already done this. I think a lot of the Linux vendors have high availability Samba available, but it's failover, basically, because you can't, the clients don't keep their connections. You can't just fail over the TCP pipes. Essentially, you have to fail over and allow the clients to reconnect.
Yeah.
But there are actually, I mean, SGI has an implementation called Failsafe that does this, because I helped write the plugin for it when I was working there.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually various commercial implementations of this.
Yes, this is right, but these high availability tools are often do the disk high availability or the application high availability. And if I have an Samba cluster with two nodes and different ID mappings, so it's a problem. The software only does the software high availability. And that does not enforce that on the second node the same ID mapping is available.
No, you just pull across the, if you're sharing the files, you also share the TDB. Is that on the same disk?
Yes, this is an impossible, yeah. Sure.
Maybe another thing which would be interesting, especially for future scenarios, is exercised or showed scalability. If you would, for example, have Samba server running, for example, with a workload spider in front, with having Samba servers running in a cluster. because that could be a big advantage against Microsoft, because I think...
So can you explain a little more exactly what it is that you want?
Similar to a web server setup, if you cluster web servers.
So you want them to be able to serve out the same data simultaneously on different nodes?
Exactly.
Okay, that's actually... No, I'm glad you raised that point. That's actually extremely difficult to do well. One of the reasons for that is that basically the open file table has to be shared between all those nodes in order for that to work. That's an incredible amount of traffic between the nodes. Right now we have the open file table is shared in a TDB among all the SMBD processes in a node. To try and share that TDB across many different nodes, maybe if you had some kind of dedicated hardware with a fast memory interconnect, the kind of thing that Andrew did his PhD on, one of his early attempts at a PhD on, that might be doable. Sorry. I'm sorry, Andrew. you did get it. Sorry, Andrew. That might be doable, but an easier way to do this might be to set up MSDFS redirects so that you partition the file space using MSDFS redirects between the various regions. So at that point, all the files in a certain region are always being served up one particular Samba server, but you can spread out where the application files actually are, and you can spread them out between nodes so that they appear transparently as one single machine using MSDFS redirects.
And then if you want to do file over,
then that gets sort of even more complex, but that's an easy way to spread the load, and at that point you don't have to share the open file table because the open file table is specific, or all the files on one file system are specific to that node. There are actually various companies in the US who are attempting to do a clustered file system using Samba as a front end. I know of a couple. I think Zambeel and Parnassus are two who are trying to create products that do that. Who are trying to create products that do that. But it's a very, very hard problem to solve. This is the reason why Microsoft don't have a clustered distributed file server. Basically because the SMB protocol is just so horrible for this.
Okay. And what we definitely also will need is a virus scanner integration, but I think you already have worked on that, if I understand correctly. Virus scanner integration, you already have that integrated in some. Okay. Another thing is that customers running Windows NT servers are used to a certain level of auditing features, and they will require or expecting similar auditing features on Unix servers. And another thing that also happens is, if I, for example, take this company with 1,000 file servers, if they're clever, they're doing first an end-to-one consolidation. For example, merging 10 servers onto one servers. But that also means for them that they need more detailed level of integration, detailed level of accounting for these servers. Because, for example, one of the reasons why they have these 1,000 servers is that each of these servers is, let's say, accounted to a different department or project. And now they will want to do the same accounting or even more detailed accounting for part of a file server to the same department. And they will need things like that. Another thing is, especially with banks and insurance companies, that they also like to have some logging and auditing of user activity just for security checks. We were thinking about accounting that as a Samba process runs under the security of the user, that maybe security, some process accounting for that process running under the user ID of the user could be used for some things like that. And Michael just said, no text file, please. AP layers preferred. Next thing is LDAP. For example, the German parliament decided to use all servers on Linux This means they're using LDAP servers as, let's say, authorization backend. And in that case, it would mean that I need a good user environment, administration frontend for the LDAP server. And then also the problem is, I mean, if I have a file server, I normally create the user ID. I also create the LDAP entry and the directory in the Unix.
That's the harm looking at side by tree text from by tree on it.
Sorry?
The bottom section looking at creating the Unix UIDs and allowing more admining straight through the NT tools and like something I've got an interest in because it's something my site would like. So make sure you catch me later to see what we can come up with there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we talked about high availability more or less. We are thinking about, for example, as a clustered file system like GFS or JPFS to share disks directly between several servers to do that. Perhaps even talking about open AFS file system to do that. And yeah, for the clustering, we would need a unique WinIP NT mapping, but we also talked about that stuff. And then there are more or less some limitations we see. I mean, for example, that's not true anymore. Yeah. That's right. It's not right anymore.
Large numbers get slower.
That's right. We were thinking more about perhaps sockets because, I mean, with a TCP IP stack, you can have only 65,000, around 65,000 ports. And if you have many users connected, you may run out a little bit of ports in that case. I mean, we also have, for example, experienced this with a mail server solution. I don't know exactly if it's a problem for Samba. another thing is that, I mean, as for each user, a process is opened. If I have like 2,000 users connected to one box, this would mean 2,000 users, and then the big question is, how does the scheduler still perform in that area? That's, for example, one problem we found out with also with a mail server environment, where we had POSIX running, which spawns more or less two or three processes for each mail arriving in the system. And our LDAP server running in the same environment was more or less dead in the water because it was not scheduled often enough to answer all the LDAP requests of all the processes running. And the system had around 500 or 1,000 processes running in parallel. So the big question is, how does a system happen with too many processes running in parallel? And also for memory, big question or interesting question would be for a large server, 64-bit support to have more than 4 gigabyte of RAM. Yeah. That's our our contact advisors, and that's more or less the end.
As we started a bit late, maybe we have one or two questions left. Jeremy.
Is this presentation available on the website? Because I have like 20 journalists who would die for this stuff.
He has a presentation.
Okay, Volker, you need to give me this.
And by the way, another request to all the speakers, please send your presentations to me so that I can make a website. By the way, you are recorded, and we will have audio files of that. So. An MP3 download site.
So I should wonder if our lawyers check me next week.
If it's a problem for you, just tell me. So, many thanks. Mr. Jordan?